Due to technical difficulties, Pastor Gary's sermon got a late start in the recording, so I'll be reading just the first few sentences here to get it started, and Pastor Gary's voice will take over. Today's message is from Exodus 20, verse 7. The Ten Commandments are not rules designed to make us squirm like a worm in hot ashes as we try to keep them. These are given for our welfare. Every time God says, "Thou shalt not," He's just trying to keep us from hurting ourselves. Every time He says, "Thou shalt," He's just telling us to help ourselves to happiness. If He says for us not to do the negative, then He's inferring that He wants us to do the positive and vice versa. Exodus 20 and verse 7 says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." If He tells us not to take the name in vanity, that infers that we are to take the name in victory. Not doing the negative infers doing the positive. Now, what's so important about a name? In Bible times, they would pray over a child in order to give them a name with a prayer and a promise. That's why we see so many folks in the Bible who had names that matched their character. The angel told Mary to name her child Jesus, which means Jehovah saves. It's important for us to know what's in the name of Jehovah. First, there's personality in that name. The God we serve is not some abstract force. He's a real person. In this passage, He calls Himself the Lord thy God. The word for Lord is the Hebrew word Jehovah or Yahweh.
And the word for God is the word Elohim, which is a personal plural pronoun because the Godhead is three persons. So it's a plural pronoun. So when He says, "I am the Lord thy God," He said, "I am Jehovah, thy Elohim." He's a person who's saying, "Let me introduce myself to you, and when I do, it's going to tell you something about what I'm like." Now, the word Jehovah refers to an everlasting God who is a covenant keeper. God has and He wants a personal relationship with His people, and He is a God who keeps His word, who keeps His promises. The word Elohim refers to the Mighty One. It speaks of His strength. It speaks of His power. And when you put the two together, He's saying, "I am a covenant-keeping God who has the power to keep my covenant, to keep my word. I'll never break my promises to you. I am the Lord thy God. Do not take my name in vain." There's personality in that name. But number two, there's also power in that name. You remember when David came against that 9-foot giant called Goliath, the original Bigfoot? Everybody else was afraid of Goliath. But little David comes out of that tin can called Saul's armor, and he takes only his sling out to meet this giant named Goliath. Now, it was a put down to Goliath that they would send a little boy out there to fight him. And if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 42 and following, "And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance." In other words, he's smooth skin, peach fuzz, all of that. "And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I'll give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." But I want you to see how David responded to Goliath's threats in verse 45. "Then said David to this Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name." In the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. David took that stone and he slung it at Goliath, and Goliath was very surprised because nothing like that had ever entered into his mind before. And David, you'll catch that in a little bit. And David took Goliath's own sword, which he could barely lift, and let it drop down. He chopped off Goliath's own head. How'd that happen? It happened in the name of our God. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Number 3, there's also protection in his name. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. We just sang about it a moment ago, did all those little hand signs. It says, the righteous run into it and are saved. Is Satan after you today? Well, take refuge in the name of Jesus. And by the way, you're going to be able to see some things from that tower you can't see any other way. Then there's also provision in his name. In John chapter 16 and verse 23, Jesus says, and in that day, you won't ask me anything. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask, ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. In other words, anything you can sign my name to, you can have it. If I've ordered it in my word, I can sign my name to the order slip, Father will give it to you. It's important you heard the last part of that. You don't just make up stuff and say in the name of Jesus and use it like a little magic charm to get what you want. It has to be something Jesus approves of, something he has said in his word that you can claim. Now, because there's personality and power and protection and provision in that name, there ought also to be praise to that name. Psalm chapter 8 and verse 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now, with that in mind, I want you to think about two things. First of all, I want you to teach your children. This is what this series is about. I want you to teach your children how not to take the name of God in vanity. And then I want you to teach them how to take his name in victory. And if you'll do those two things, you'll have a home that wins. Now, what does the word vanity mean? Vanity means meaningless, careless, but most of all, it means empty. It means emptiness. Empty of content. Now, first of all, you're to teach your children never to use profanity. Profaning the name of God is one of the most ignorant things that anybody can do. When you take the name of a holy God in profanity, it shows two things. It shows an empty head and a wicked heart. I used to have a sign on my office door when I worked in Liberal, Kansas, and it says, profanity is the attempt of a weak mind to express itself forcefully. That's all it is. But also, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, what's in your heart comes out of the mouth. Down the farm, we said, what's down the well comes up in the bucket. Okay? A profane mouth shows a profane heart. At least when a man commits murder, and I'm not advocating you commit murder, but I'm saying at least when a man commits murder, he gets whatever revenge he's looking for. Whenever a man steals, at least he gets what he steals. But when you take the name of God in vain, the only thing you get for that is the judgment of God. It's kind of like a fish biting a hook with no bait on it. It's just dumb. Now, sometimes you'll hear somebody asking God to damn another person. How foolish is that? Jesus died for that person. He died in agony and blood to save that person. And profanity is not the only way you can take God's name in vanity. Another way you can do it is through frivolity. Now, a lot more of us do this than we do with profanity. In other words, just taking the name of God lightly or carelessly. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, it says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which is not convenient." Never, ever, ever use the name of God unless you're being serious. Jokes about God are not funny. Using his name in frivolity is repugnant to God. And not only profanity and frivolity, but in hypocrisy. I don't think anything turns our teenagers off more than hypocrisy, school or taking up the offering or whatever, and mom singing in the choir or whatever. And yet when they get home, they don't live what they profess. Isaiah 48, verse 1. "Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord," now look, "and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth nor in righteousness." That's why so many teenagers say, "You know, I'm just sick and tired of the church. Your dad teaches Sunday school, he leads in prayer, takes the offering, mom sings in choir, teaches a class, but at home they're phonies." Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that worketh iniquity." Do not take the name of God in hypocrisy. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. And don't just try to forge his name on the end of your prayer that's not based on his will. That's a hypocritical prayer. When you praise the Lord, you need to praise him with all your heart. We're even hypocrites when we sing sometimes. We sing, "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign." Do you ever sing that while you still got sin in your heart? We sing, "Take my silver, take my gold, not a mite would I withhold," and then we hold on to it with all our might. We sing, "Faith of our fathers, holy faith, I will be true to thee till death." And then we think absolutely nothing of skipping church when company comes. Hypocrite. We sing, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give." But if you don't mean that when you sing it, you're in the same category with the person who used profanity and curses and swears and takes the name of God in vain. So how do you take the name of God in victory? Remember, every negative has a positive. If you teach your children how to take his name in victory, they'll be afraid to take his name in vanity. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. The very last name for God given in the Bible is Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. It means Jehovah saves. Every name for God in the Bible is compressed into that one name, Jesus. There are three things you need to teach your children if you want a home that wins. First of all, you need to teach your children to wear that name. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. When we call ourselves Christians, we're wearing the name of Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. When you wear that name, you've got to walk the talk. We've always taught our kids and our grandkids, you know, if we drop them off somewhere, take them to school, whatever, we've always taught them, remember who you are and remember whose you are. You're Christians. You belong to Christ. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. And not only teach your children to wear the name, teach your children to share the name. Listen to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. God has three books. He has his book of Revelation. And I don't mean the last book of the Bible. The whole Bible is a book of Revelation. Then he has his book of redemption. We oftentimes call it the Lamb's book of life. And thirdly, he has a book of remembrance. God's writing things down. He sees us fellowshipping this morning around his name, and he remembers that. But he remembers a lot more than that. When a person takes God's name in vain, it's because he doesn't fear the Lord. The greatest mark of character is fear of the Lord. The beginning of the knowledge, Proverbs says, is the fear of the Lord. And a nation is on its last leg when it no longer fears God. If you want to teach your children something wonderful, teach them about the names of God. Do a Bible study on it. Teach them about Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord is our righteousness. Teach them about Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is our provider. Teach them about Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is always present. Teach them about Jehovah Rapha. The Lord, our healer. Teach them about the names of God. There's many more. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Psalm 9:10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Now in Malachi 3:16, it says, they spake often one to another. Well, what were they speaking about? They were speaking about this name. When you come to church, you don't need to be telling jokes. You don't need to be talking about sports. You don't need to be talking about the weather. Psalm 34:3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. That's what you're here for. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says that we're to be exhorting one another. You know, you'll come to church and you're down, but somebody else will be up. You'll come to church and you'll have a question. Somebody there's got an answer. You'll come to church and you may be discouraged, but somebody there's got the gift of encouragement. So many people are putting his name down, but we need to exalt his name and we need to do it with one another. Teach your children to wear his name. Teach your children to share his name, but also teach your children to bear his name. It's not going to be easy, because the name of Jesus is the most hated name on the face of the earth. It's also the most loved name. It's also hated more than any other name. Don't get the idea that when you wear the name and share the name that you're not going to get reproach. You will. The Bible says all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So if you're not suffering persecution, it's because you're not living godly in the Lord Jesus. The apostles had been preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus. And then in Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 40, it says, "And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council." Now listen. "Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame," what? "For his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Today there's a concerted effort against the name of Jesus. You know that. We just saw Phil Robertson on that video a while ago talking about how the networks were trying to make an effort against the name of Jesus. Thank goodness for Mr. Robertson, who had the guts to stand up and do what was right. You should always bear his name and never be ashamed of the one who died for you. Some of you may know the name General William Booth. He's the man who started the Salvation Army. And when General Booth was on his deathbed, his family was all gathered around the bedside, and they had an attorney for the family there. And the attorney told the family that, you know, it's very important that you get him to sign this document, because if he passes away without signing this document, it's going to be very difficult after he dies to take care of all of his affairs. And so the family said, "Papa, before you go see Jesus, would you sign this for us? It's going to make it a lot easier for us." He said, "Fine." They handed him the pen and the paper, and he signed, folded up, handed it back to him. And, I mean, he died right then. Later on, they opened that thing up, and he hadn't signed his name. He just wrote Jesus. That's the only thing he had on his mind. It's the only thing that had been on his mind for years. Jesus. One of these days, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. The one who has a name that's above every other name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. How well do you know that name? You know, it could be that you've just been carrying that name around for a long time and you really didn't know what it was all about. Our musicians are going to come. Prepare for a time of invitation. And I hope you'll do some serious soul searching this morning and decide for yourself whether you've taken that name in vanity or whether you've taken that name in victory. Which is it? What are we going to sing, Gary?
188.
Let's stand. Answer that question honestly. In your behavior, in your speech, in your actions, are you taking the name of the Lord in vanity? With emptiness, carelessness, meaninglessness, just mixing it in the muck and the mire, the rest of the filth of the earth? Or do you take that name in victory? Remembering if it wasn't for that name, you'd be on your way to hell right now. Have you ever received that name? You have an opportunity right now as we sing. Let's sing.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam, farther and farther away? Calling today.
Is it calling on your heart?
Calling today.
Heavenly Father, your name is holy. Help us to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to never use your name if we're not thinking about you or talking about you or talking to you, Lord. We just pray that you'd help us in our actions and our thoughts and our deeds. Be with us this week, Lord, and help us to please you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join hands as we dismiss.
We are one in the bond of joy.